Good morning. This morning we'll be looking at two passages in the Gospels. If you'd like to turn first of all to Luke chapter 10. Now both passages involve the same people. Both passages are set in the same place called Bethany. And both passages teach us that motives matter. And that's the theme of my sermon this morning, that motives matter. When Hudson Taylor was the director of the China Inland Mission, he often interviewed candidates who were applying to go on the mission field. On one occasion, he had a group of candidates, and he wanted to determine their motivations for service. So he asked them, "Why do you wish to go on foreign ministry?" First one replied, "I want to go because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world." Another one said, "I want to go because millions of people are perishing without Christ." And others gave different answers. And then Hudson Taylor said, all of these motives, however good, will fail you in times of testings, trials and tribulations and possible death. There is but one motive that will sustain you in trial and testing. Namely, the love of Christ. So we're going to see this morning how our motives can affect our behaviour. And that will hopefully bring attention to our own motives that we use every day and how we can correct them, how we can improve them. You see, motives can be changed when we see better ones. We can swap our old for the new. We can upgrade. And my job this morning is to show you better ones, better motives. Let's read then in Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 38 to verse 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. I'm reading from the New International Version. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. Now, there's no specific time frame given for this particular passage. It's during the 3 years of ministry as Jesus and his disciples travel throughout Israel. But we can see earlier in Luke chapter 9 where Jesus is sending out the 72 disciples ahead of him, and they return with many stories of success. And I preached on this a couple of months ago. Jesus had told them in verse 20, "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus is correcting their motives already. Jesus is pointing them to the correct source of their joy. So after that event in Luke chapter 9, and and then we see the parable of the Good Samaritan that we've heard about recently as well, Jesus and his disciples arrive in this village, and he doesn't mention it, but it's likely to be Bethany. The Bible only mentions village, but we can assume it's Bethany because it's where Martha and Mary live, and we read that later on in the Gospel. And we read here that Martha opened her home to Jesus and his disciples. Martha was being hospitable to these travellers. And if you remember from earlier in this passage, when Jesus sends out the 72, he gave them specific instructions. Verse 5, "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. So we can therefore assume that Jesus set up his base of operations in this house. Martha and Mary must have been pretty well off to have a house that could accommodate Jesus and his entourage. We have this house where Mary lived, and Jesus would have slept there, eaten there, and possibly taught and ministered there as people brought their sick and needy, needing to be healed. So the number of visitors coming to and fro from the house must have been enormous. Nevertheless, Martha is moved to accommodate and feed all of these people. So we then read that Jesus was teaching in this home. We know that because we hear about Mary sitting at his feet. And it's their tradition that the rabbis would sit and teach. We're introduced now to Mary in this passage. And she's also sat listening to Jesus. Now, I'm not particularly aware of the customs of that day, of whether men and women would sit listening to the rabbis or whether it would just be men. But we can see here that plainly there is no distinction in Jesus' teaching. Jesus is teaching to men and women are treated equally. And Mary is listening there to what Jesus is having to say. She's listening intently. But Martha, on the other hand, and we often paint Martha as a kind of scowling kind of person she's obviously got a heart to serve. She's there, she's helping out, she's distracted by all of the different things that need to be done. And the thing is, though, that Martha looks over at her sister and she sees someone else who's not doing what she thinks they should be doing. She thinks that her sister should be helping her and doing the same things that she does. So she goes to Jesus and she complains. She says to her, "Don't you care?" And to say that to Jesus is quite remarkable. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me!" Exclamation mark. So Martha is distracted by many things, but she also thinks that other people should be doing what she's doing. But Jesus calls to her and gets her attention. He says, "Martha, Martha." He's got her full attention now. I can imagine him looking straight in the eye and getting her full attention. And Jesus points to the problem of her being upset. It's not about her sister. It's about what she's doing. She's doing good. She's caring for people. But she's being distracted from the main thing. Jesus said that only one thing is needed. And that Mary has selected that one thing. And that one thing is Jesus. Martha had missed the point. Jesus was there to minister to her. And the thing about missing the point is that there is only one point to miss. It's Jesus. Are you looking for Jesus in the wrong place? Are you getting sidetracked from Jesus? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are we getting tied up in doing, in being busy rather than being surrendered to Jesus? Jesus is our focus, our center, our purpose, our motive, our Savior and our Lord. So if you want a motive this morning that's better than a motive that is serving others, it's a motive that is loving the Lord Jesus. Let's turn forwards in our Bible to John chapter 12. Another passage that I've said has quite a lot of similarities with what we've just read. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And again, our passage is set in Bethany, and it's got the same people in that passage. It's a separate occasion, but we can see the similarities, the same place, the same people, and their motives. Let's read from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Amen. So we're told at the start of this passage that it was 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before Jesus was put to death. And earlier in chapter 11, we read how Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. Now, news of this resurrection was traveling, and the Jewish leaders were plotting to arrest Jesus. So Jesus and his disciples withdrew to a village near the desert, it tells us. But then the Passover arrives and Jesus needs to make an appearance. The Jewish leaders are looking for him, they're seeking him out. But Jesus needs to make an appearance at this most important festival. So they set off for Jerusalem. But the disciples still don't understand that Jesus has to die. The Jewish leaders there are seeking a way to get him. So they head towards Jerusalem and they arrive in Bethany. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus welcome Jesus and the disciples and they hold a feast in his honour. And then this same passage is also in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, I believe, as well, and Mark. All four Gospels. But Matthew 26 tells us that it's in Simon the leper's house. So Simon the leper lives in Bethany and he's hosting this feast. And Martha and Mary and Lazarus are all there. Everyone is celebrating and Jesus is the center of attention. And Jesus, Lazarus and the others are reclining at the table. And as you probably know from previous sermons, The reclining at the table, you would have your head towards the table and your feet away from the table, and you would basically be laid down while eating. And the Bible tells us that Martha is serving. It just says Martha served. Martha is still doing what she needs to do. Perhaps she's learned the secret of motives. It doesn't necessarily mean that your behaviour is changing, but you'll notice that she doesn't point out to Mary and say, look what she's doing. It's the same behaviour, but different motives. Or perhaps this is an opportunity for Jesus to remind her of better motives. We all need to be reminded of lessons we've learned, otherwise we can quite easily fall back into this same old behaviour. And then we read about Mary. She took this pint of perfume, this nard, and she breaks it open and she pours it on Jesus' feet. His feet reclining away from the table. And Mary's there pouring out that perfume and wiping his feet with her hair. And it tells us that the house was then filled with that fragrance, that perfume. Someone else is criticizing Mary this time. Mary gets a lot of criticism, doesn't she? But this time it's Judas. And Judas the betrayer, he objects. Judas suggests that the perfume could have been sold it was worth about a year's wages. And the money could have been given to the poor. So he's obviously putting himself across as caring for others. But really, John gives us an explanation of the real reasons of why he said that. John explains to us in his gospel Judas's motives. Judas was that thief, and he would help himself to the money. I found a quote from a French author from the 1600s called François de la Rochefoucauld. Sorry. If you're well-read, you'll probably know him. If you're like me, you'll just find him on Google. But he said, we would frequently be shamed of our good deeds if people saw all of the motives that produced them. Judas was there. He was saying, let's do this good deed. But really, what he wanted was something selfish. But Jesus again defends Mary. Jesus explains it was intended for his burial. The disciples didn't understand that Jesus had to die. In fact, it was only really Jesus who really knew what was going to happen. So people must have been confused at this. But Jesus explains the priorities at that time. It was about him. And our priorities should put Jesus first. Jesus is our focus, our center, our purpose, our motive, our Savior, and our Lord. So as we consider these two passages with some similarities, let's look at the motives of the people involved. Firstly, Judas. Judas's priorities are laid out for us very clearly by John. Judas, his motives were for himself. Judas, he says, was a thief and also the treasurer, but without accountability. He pretended that his concern was for others, but really he wanted the money. He was gripped by greed and he entertained evil. And we know where that led. His motives were clearly for himself. But the question for us is, how often are our motives for ourselves? Now, it's okay to do things for yourself. It's okay to dress yourself. It's okay to feed yourself, Jonathan. It's okay to make sure that you have enough rest. It's okay to even make your life easier and more comfortable. The problems occur when we put our needs above others. And the problems occur when we put our needs above the Lord's will. How often do we do something because it's for our benefit at the expense of others? How often do we do something that is contrary to God's will, but it gets us out of a tricky spot? I'd like this morning for you to consider your actions, your behaviour, and just double check your motives. Are you doing it because it's in God's will as shown in the Bible? Are you doing it because it's in the best interest of others? Or are we being selfish? Secondly, let's consider Martha's priorities. In both passages, we see that Martha is serving others. Her motives are clearly for the benefit of others. She'll go out of her way to help people. However, in the first passage, she's getting bogged down with all the work. She looks over and sees her sister Mary sitting down and doing nothing, and she becomes judgmental, looking to others and expecting them to do what you are doing is a dangerous trap. They may not have the same skills or calling as you. You may be missing the point yourself, as Martha was. You're not the boss of them, literally. Don't use your soapbox to get on your high horse. Instead, be happy with the contribution of others and don't expect them to do what you are doing. So, Martha goes to the boss and complains to Jesus about the behavior of her sister Mary. Now, it sounds great that Martha would spend so much time caring for the needs of others. Surely that's admirable. But when Martha complains, Jesus points out that there are better motives. There are better motives for serving. And Jesus points out that he is the best motive. It's not Mary that needs to change her motives, but Martha. Martha needs to be driven by love for Jesus and not necessarily by the needs of others, however good that is. Firstly, it is for the love of Jesus. So that's Martha. Thirdly, we'll look at Mary's priorities. Mary was clearly motivated in love for Jesus. In the first passage, Mary spends her time listening carefully to Jesus' teaching. In the second, Mary gets an extravagant and expensive gift, and she gives it by pouring it out on the feet of Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. This is selfless. This is otherless. Mary is focused on Jesus. Everything else is secondary. Jesus is our focus, our center, our purpose, our motive, our Savior, and our Lord. So what is your response? How are our motives going to change this morning? Have you been reminded of the need to be focused on Jesus? Or are we going to continue to look out for ourselves and go the Judas route? Maybe we'll change to be more focused on others rather than ourselves and be more like Martha. But be careful that we don't then judge others by our standards. It's good, but it's not the best. Hopefully we'll change to be more like Mary and be more focused on Jesus. Out of love for Jesus, we will love others and love ourselves in the right way. Love for self destroys relationships. Love for others maintains relationships. But love for Jesus creates relationships. I hope that you consider this morning your own motives and choose the best. Amen.